Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father and Mother, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Usually when I read through the four lessons that the lectionary provides for any given Sunday, I almost always immediately know which text I will preach on. Will it be the Old Testament lesson, the Psalm, the New Testament lesson, or the Gospel lesson? I would venture to guess that 90, maybe even 95% of my sermons are on the Gospel lesson, the good news of Jesus Christ. But once in a while, one of the other lessons grabs hold of my heart and my mind and my imagination. That's what happened this week. I found myself feeling led to preach on the verses from the prophet Jeremiah. But it was a wrestling match because simultaneously I really wanted to preach on the Beatitudes, because the Beatitudes are the very heart of God's character. The Beatitudes are Jesus' ministry. The Beatitudes so clearly show us what God's kingdom looks like. So I decided, just preach two sermons on Sunday. So y'all go ahead and get comfortable. Just teasing. I decided that since next Sunday's gospel lesson is a continuation of this Sermon on the Plain, and you're saying Sermon on the Plain, in Matthew, Jesus preaches the Beatitudes in a Sermon on the Mount. In Luke, Jesus preaches the Beatitudes in a sermon on a plain, on a level ground. And so since next Sunday's gospel lesson is a continuation of that sermon, I'm going to pair those two up next Sunday. And that's a preview of what is to come. We'll still sing Blessed Are They for our hymn of the day today in response to the gospel lesson and as a reminder of what the kingdom of God looks like and what we are called to as Jesus followers. But for today, let's go back to the Old Testament, to the prophet Jeremiah. If I were to ask you the first sermon you remember, could you do it? I'm not saying the first sermon you ever heard, because I'm sure many of you were little bitty babies. The first sermon you ever remember. Well, for me, that sermon was actually on this passage in Jeremiah. I heard this sermon in college. Remember, I didn't grow up going to church. And so I heard this sermon in college, and the metaphor or word picture of a tree being deeply rooted in God has been a touchstone for me throughout these last 20 plus years of my life. In fact, many of you have noticed before that there is a tree on my pectoral cross. That's one of the reasons why I got this as a gift from my internship congregation. The metaphor of a tree being deeply rooted in God has been a touchstone for me. I thought back countless times on that sermon that I heard one Sunday night. You know, we can live our lives like a shrub in the desert. God gives us that choice. We can do that. Or we can choose to become a deeply rooted tree next to water. I want my life, my relationship with God, to be the latter. For years, I have worked toward being like a tree next to water, with a robust and strong root system, sending its roots into the water. Now, we don't spend a lot of time in the book of Jeremiah, so maybe we'll do a little refresh. Jeremiah, the prophet that penned these words and this word picture about 2,600 years ago, was no stranger to difficult circumstances. To say he had a hard life would be an understatement. To say he lived during challenging times would be even more of an understatement. His prophetic career began in Jerusalem, and it ended in exile. exile in which Jeremiah lost his home and the life he knew, along with many, many others, when Jerusalem was both conquered and destroyed by the Babylonians. Jeremiah and the Israelites were forced to leave the world that they knew. The sad thing is, Jeremiah knew this would happen. Jeremiah saw it all coming, and he preached and he warned against it. But the people didn't listen to the truth of his words, and it still happened. Jeremiah's land and people were conquered, and they were led to captivity in Babylon, into exile. Now, by the time we read Jeremiah's words for today from chapter 17, he's actually preaching a new message. Because by this point, he had acknowledged that exile was the new normal. And he exhorted God's people. How will the people in exile respond to their new normal? In part, the Israelites didn't want exile to be their new normal, and I get it. They were still resisting it and fighting against it. But being the prophet he was, Jeremiah knew that they were going to be in exile for many years. He also knew that their new normal was a marathon and not a sprint. And he wants the Israelites to accept the reality so that they can begin to live more faithfully in it. Right? It's not always easy to remain faithful in times of transition and change. Certainly in exile, when everything they knew was gone. But he wrote, how would the people of God respond? Would they respond as if they lived in a desert? Or would they respond by being like a tree planted in this strange world, but still being like a tree planted next to water? One path is the path of trust and complete dependence on God. The other is not. When we think of trees, or if I were to ask you to draw a picture of a tree, you would probably draw a trunk, maybe some branches and leaves, or if you're not an artist like me, you just draw a big bushy part of a tree at the top. But we would be forgetting the most important part, the roots of that tree. You see, the most significant part of the tree isn't what we see, it's what we don't see. The roots reaching deep, deep into the earth to find moisture and nutrients. The most important part of the tree, the most important work for that tree, happens under the ground. It happens in the dark, and that work is unseen. Seems to me we heard a sermon not too long ago that talked about how some of God's most powerful work happens in the dark. The same is true for trees. With trees, that important work is unseen, and yes, it happens underground in the dark. But what happens in the dark produces the fruit that we see and experience in the light. That work helps to produce shade to shelter us on sweltering hot summer days. It helps to produce wooden beams that build homes. It helps to produce branches that nests for birds can sit on. And it produces all kinds of delicious fruit that nourish our bodies. But all of this is only possible because of what happens underground, what happens in the darkness. And so let's ask ourselves, what kind of people are we? And what kind of people do we want to be? Are we like a shrub living in the wilderness, parched, finding no relief, unable to withstand drought or storm or heat? Or are we like a tree? Or do we want to be like a tree planted by the water, growing its roots and sending them out to the stream? Both the tree and the shrub endure hard times. Even the tree with a deep root system isn't immune from struggles and challenges. The difference is that because it is so rooted, it doesn't fear when heat comes, and it isn't anxious when there is drought. Because of its root system reaching toward that stream, it will remain green and still produce fruit. Both of these images directly correspond to our relationship with God. They correspond to the depth of relationship and the closeness that we share with God, or the depth or closeness that we don't share with God. Regardless, each dictates what kind of root system we will have. And so I invite you this afternoon, spend some time thinking about this. Courageously and honestly reflect on what kind of relationship you have with God. And think about what your root system looks like. If your roots are deep and are being nourished by God's grace and love, keep leaning into God and keep growing those roots and keep letting them dip into the stream of God's love and grace. And dear trees, if you are in a season of heat or drought, and I know some of you are, rest and be still. You don't need to strive for God's water. Let your roots just rest in the stream of God's love and just be for a while. And as we're courageously and honestly asking ourselves questions, if you think that you are more like that shrub, if you feel maybe uprooted, or if you feel like your root system can't withstand the parched places of life, first of all, don't feel shame. Yes, be honest with yourself and be honest with God, but then come to the font. Remember that you are God's beloved child. Then come to the table and be fed and nourished with forgiveness and love. And after that, intentionally focus on your relationship with God by spending time with God in prayer and spending time in God's word and spending time with God's people, continuing to come and worship, by being God's hands and feet in the world. Spend intentional time growing your root system into God's love and care. You know, many, if not all of us, go through life thinking that we are strong and invincible, that we can handle anything and everything that life will throw at us. Thank you very much. Or maybe sometimes we don't even think life will throw anything at us. And as a result, we don't always spend time rooting ourselves in God. And then when the storms of life do come, we suddenly want to have a deep root system to ground us. But the truth is that root systems don't grow overnight. Growing roots and root systems, it takes time, in the dark place underground, unseen by the world. You don't start building your roots and root system when the drought comes. You build it before, so that when the heat and drought comes, your roots are already firmly and securely planted by the water, and you can draw from God what you need. Beloved children of God, in the waters of baptism, God adopted you as God's children, even before you understood what a root system was or how difficult life could be. God chose you as God's own. And God loves us and the world so deeply that God sent Jesus into the world to be our living water so that we never have to thirst again. Jesus comes to us not because of anything we do or deserve, but because God loves us. And God's love then frees us to love and trust God with all that we are and all that we have. Today and every day, God is inviting us to be deeply rooted in God. God invites us and longs for us to receive renewal and refreshment from the never-ending well of God's goodness and God's love and God's mercy. Thanks be to God for a love like that. Amen.